Well, this is our last week of our stewardship month, and we got some exciting stuff in store for tonight. An opportunity has arisen that we've asked John Silberhorn to come on up and share about, and he's going to show a little DVD and then come up and talk for a couple minutes, and then I'll be back. So, John, how do you want to do it? You want them to? Okay, great.
Wasn't worship great? Amen? Give Jesus a clap offering. Come on. That was an awesome worship. I don't know. Something may be different in my heart tonight. I don't know. But I've got a little video. It's a 10-minute video, but we had to narrow it down to 5 minutes. So you kind of see about the middle five. Give you a little introduction. How many of you have heard of Angel Food Ministries? See a handful. We've got an opportunity here to minister to some people, and I'll share a little bit more about it. Let me have them play the video, kind of give you a quick synopsis about it, and then I'll come back and kind of fill in the gaps and go from there. So, Jake. Middle five, that's all we got. That's basically what Angel Food Ministry is about. They said they started off back in 94 with feeding 35 families. The month of November, they fed 500,000 families. It's in about 30 different states. There's enough host sites in Missouri alone to fill 16 pages of print. This is an awesome opportunity. Talked with Pastor about it, and what they had suggested, because we can, the process to get a church to become a host site takes 2 to 3 months. So in the interim, I've actually, there's a church called Windcrest Church, I believe it is, over off of Cave Springs that does this. I looked them up on the internet and went to help them with their distribution for this month and got a box of food myself. And I mean, it's quality stuff. It's not things that are falling off the truck or dented items or, you know, day old, whatever. I mean, this is good quality food. And Pastor Vaughn and Voles had suggested that maybe we use this to minister to some people here, kind of as a function of benevolence to start with. Jake, can you put up? We've got a menu. This is kind of what you're looking at here in a second. Basically, the boxes that they're talking about cost $25. When eventually you get involved to become a church host site, we can even take food stamps. So these people, you know, in some of the areas that we minister to are people that you know, we can actually help them get good quality groceries, a good amount of groceries for not very much. I mean, you can see what that's the December menu. And it's a once a month thing. You can't pick and choose what you want off of it. It's $25 and you get everything right there on the page. The nice thing about this isn't just for, say, you know, people on food stamps or whatever. You know, all of us in this room can partake in this eventually, you know, as a way either to get cheap groceries or for some people just to get any groceries. So, you know, it can be a ministry as well as just something to kind of help people out to save a few dollars. What they had, pastors had suggested is, like I said, we've got and Mike will talk about this here in a second, a group of families that we'd like to do some ministering to for the Christmas season. And we've got clipboards here. I know another clipboard. Well, we've got 33 families that we would like to get sponsors for. We're going to send these around, and instead of doing, you know, I think last year we had the angel tree where you pick a tree off, you go to the store, you buy some presents, you box it up, you bring it back. This is really simple. You don't have to do anything other than sign your name, and it costs you $25. And this way, we can help families who have a real need. You know, toys are great, but, you know, if your tummy is empty, you know, toys don't do you a whole lot of good. Let's see. The thing is, the deadline for the December order is December 4th. So that means we need people to sign up this week and next week. Next week will have to be the cutoff. After that, we won't be able to take any more orders. So I'm going to send these around. You know, you can, if you just want to support one family, that'd be great, $25. You can write a check to Liberty Christian Church, catch me with it afterwards. I'll collect up all the checks. I'll give it to Liberty, and then what we'll do is we'll just write one big check for the whole thing. You know, if you want to support two families, three, five, you know, however many you want. And then we will need some volunteers on the 16th to go pick up the food from over at Windcrest Church. You know, a couple of people will get it in a trailer. By that point, because they're already set up as a host site, we will get it boxed. We're not going to have to do all the boxing. It would be nice to have a few volunteers to kind of help them over there to get this kind of put together. But we'll bring it back here and then distribute it. Let me see. I think I've covered about everything. Anyway, Mike, I think... And I'll send these. I got three clipboards, so one for each row. And I got pens, too.
Thanks, John. Yeah, when John presented this to the staff Wednesday night, and we were really excited to hear about it, because we really felt like it went along with the outreach emphasis that we really want to have as a church, even with this Sunday morning service getting started in the first quarter. So we wanted to jump on it, and we were kind of bummed out thinking, man, if we would have known about this a month ago, we could have done something for Thanksgiving. And we're like, well, and so then we asked John, well, is there something we can still do for Christmas? And that's when he told us the deadline for December 4th. And so we, someone immediately suggested, you know, we have a junior high ministry that meets downstairs on Tuesday nights where we have an outreach to some mobile home parks in the area. And for 5 years, we've been reaching out to two different mobile home parks have been the main places we've gone, is Glengate and Fairview, and they're just right off of Mexico. And it started from when Teens for Christ did a Bible study about 5 years ago after we came back from a mission trip. And the kids were so pumped up, they wanted to do a VBS here. And so we handed out tons of flyers. Well, basically, it just opened up the doors. And for 5 years now, we've had kids on a weekly basis. We use the Kinsey's van, and Paul drives over with another junior high leader, and we pick up kids. Some nights there's only two. Some nights there's 25. But it's been going on for a long time. And you know what, when you're getting into different situations like that, you're dealing with lost people, obviously. And we've had all sorts of kids come from, you know, broken homes. Some of them are pretty rough around the edges. But we've been able to minister to many of them, and some of them have gotten saved and been living for the Lord. I just want to tell you two stories really quick. There's one girl that's been coming only for a couple months, actually, and her name is Megan. And last Tuesday, unfortunately, was her last night, but she's getting ready to move to Maryland. And she came up to me, actually, after we were done, she came up to me, and she had this piece of paper, and she said she wanted to read this poem. And, you know, sometimes when junior hires, they ask me to, you know, read different things or whatever. They want to read something. It can get kind of crazy. So I was like, okay, let me read it really quick myself. So I start reading it, and I'm thinking, oh, man, this is like some type of love poem or something. This isn't to some guy she likes. I was really getting nervous. But as I kept reading it, in the last part, it just brings it out, and it basically says it's the Lord and how the Lord's changed her life and how, you know, she's going to miss us and the impact that he's made in her life and how she's going to continue to walk for him. And we've had some, you know, things like that we've seen. I don't know if it was Marjorie here tonight. Marjorie? Well, Marjorie is another girl that came in from Glengate. And she was here basically from the very beginning 5 years ago. And she was so young at the time she couldn't come to the junior high ministry. So Tiffany Voles was doing some discipleship with her. And once she was able to come to the junior high, she kind of came off and on. Well, about the past year now, she's really gotten plugged in. And I'd say in the past 6 months, there's been some tremendous change. She's come a long ways, and you know, just like everyone, she's got stuff to deal with, like we all do. It's just been exciting to see that. And so the staff said this is an excellent opportunity for us to go into an area where, you know, some of them are doing okay, but many of them aren't doing okay. And this is an opportunity for us as a church to really bless a lot of these families. Some of the families, you know, we've gotten to know. Some of them, we just pick up the kids each week. They meet in a central location, and we never see the mom or the dad. There's a pretty good mix. But this is an opportunity for us to connect just a little bit more with these families and to be able to say, you know, in a physical way, hey, we love you, we care about you, we're thinking of you, no strings attached. So the plan would be, just like John said, is we'd need some volunteers to get the food and sort it out, because it all comes, you know, all the chicken comes together, all the rice comes together, all the, you know, beef comes together, sort it into different boxes, and then since it's all frozen and all that, immediately we'd go out that same day and deliver it. And what I'm going to do as a junior high leader is we're going to come up with about, we think we have about 25 to 35 kids that we can come up with that have been attending, and we're going to go to each of those houses and hand them a box and bless their family. So if the church, we'd really, really, really encourage you guys to be a part of it. It's just an easy way for us to make a difference to them. We've been praying for years to be able to, you know, really get past just the kids coming and really get into some of the families. And we had one mom that came to the concert, the Lighted Up concert a couple weeks ago. We'd really, you know, like to try to open that door even more. And I think this provides us the excellent opportunity to do that. So I hope that you'll consider signing up for a box, $25, and then maybe helping. John's going to be probably getting some people together to do all that stuff. So that would be awesome. Switching gears a little bit. And the great thing about it is this: the whole benevolence thing really goes along with stewardship, because it goes back to, what are you doing with your time? What are you doing with your talents? What are you doing with your treasure? This is an opportunity for us to use our stewardship resources. And now I'm going to have Phil Notes come up, and he's going to talk about the stewardship of talent and treasure. Phil?
Are these my notes? I just want to thank you guys for... we've been here about a year, and I want to thank you guys for letting us feel welcomed and serve and things like that. I think we showed up last year this time around the men's retreat, and so we just had the men's retreat, so it kind of made me think, hey. But I remember last year I was actually drawing pictures of people's faces because at the men's retreat, because it was overwhelming to me, all these different people, and I'm supposed to, you know, everybody knows my name, but I don't know them. And so it's really neat to see, I saw that paper again after I opened some folder I had, and I thought, wow, look at that. I drew a picture of Dan Benson, I drew a picture of, you know, all these different people. So what I really appreciate is the opportunity to serve. Luckily, I knew pastor before I came here, and some of the things that keep us from getting involved and doing things in our church are just, you know, we don't know if we feel like we can do these things or whatever. But pastor kind of used some of my artistic talents. The first day I was here, first week, you know, I thought, great, because we had just come from a church where we did not get used at all. And that was a very big hole in our ministry or our Christian walk. It's just that everything there was provided. And so you actually felt like a customer, or you were going to a real nice show or something. And so, and even if you offered to help, it was, no, that's okay, we got it, you know. And these, you know, people in suits came and, you know, but, and I'm not kidding. It was very strange, but I'm not kidding. And so you just could not get involved. It was not something that was really, you know, encouraged. But what I wanted to say was, this church is not like that. We're very small. That's right. Very small. There's lots of opportunity. It's almost like a family. And one of the things that my wife and I, when I was thinking about what the heck am I going to talk about, they said, give us a testimony. Then I saw Mr. Witte give a testimony. I thought, oh, I can't talk about myself. What I thought about is just how I approach it, how I approach giving, how I approach, you know, any of that, is I look at it as if you're part of a team. And so that's the same way I do the military, is I say, okay, I'm part of this team. Okay, has anybody ever been, obviously, everybody's been on a team, you know, baseball, soccer, whatever. What's the worst position to play? No. Bench. When I was growing up, I had poor vision. Knew it. You could tell by the way I swung the bat and everything else. I had my eyes fixed as soon as I could afford it. But but I sat on the bench a lot, and I thought, this is not fun. So what I thought deep down was that getting involved with the church is, you know, you got to think about how, every time I got up to bat, when I did get up to bat, what's the big feeling you feel like? I have to contribute. I just, even if I walk, let me get on base, please. Everybody's counting on me. You look back at the bench and they're all looking at you. That's, you got to realize, it's kind of like that at church. You know, there's a lot of things that need to happen to keep this thing rolling. I mean, there's got to be a hit or a ball or something happening every single day several times to keep church rolling. And whether you're in the, you know, I mean, there's some outward people that really, you know, the Witties, the Kinseys, all these people that you see all the time. But behind the scenes, I mean, Jacob back there, all the different people that make things happen. I mean, here comes the Wilsons. Home run. You know, they hit the big show, all that kind of stuff. But there's a lot of other things that happen, you know. Where is Dan Benson anyway? Is he at work? That man can swing a... we have to break up a lot of concrete down there. He does a lot of concrete breaking. So he does a real good job of that. So whenever Dan shows up, you know you're going to get a couple hits. You know, just right down there. So there's just a lot of... got to think about what can I do for the team today. And I don't prosperity preach, although I've been there and I get involved in it and I'm all like, yeah, I'm going to be a millionaire. But you know what? You should be doing for that. I think the songs we just sang is, you know, thankful. You know, you just know how to be thankful for what he's done for us already. I mean, if we're looking for more prosperity, phew, I mean, what a country we live in. You know, that's the... My big prayer tonight and thankfulness is for those who are, you know, the airmen, Marines, soldiers, sailors that are deployed right now that, you know, are giving up, you know, not only our country, but not only what our country has to offer, but what we just celebrated, the Thanksgiving, the Christmas, New Year's, all that stuff. That doesn't happen out there generally. Anyway, but that was my message, was just that if you really feel like, I mean, if you feel like you're an Albert Pujols, you're probably in the right spot. You're doing exactly what you should be doing, and you should be, you know, oh yeah, I'm out there making the big hits and getting on base, and I'm doing well. If you feel like, you know, geez, I just want to be, I really don't want to play, then think about getting involved a little more, because really, even looking at this video that John put up there, I think, oh my gosh, look at that building we're going to have to build. And but obviously we're going to be able to do something like that. But I was thinking, oh wow, it's a huge, gigantic thing that has to happen. But you know what? With a bunch of people just getting involved, it probably won't be that hard to do, to get something really rolling. I think a lot of it is just stepping out and making it happen. One of the things I know that Dave Wilson was talking about the other night is just need someone with trailers. I mean, if you have a truck and a trailer, you can serve. You know, they got to move all that stuff over to the... So there's always something. And you just got to say, you know, be available. That's the... one of the themes, just be available and say, or call up and say, hey, Mike, well, this is pretty dangerous. Anything I can do? Well, there's plenty. I was up on the roof with Mr. Hoskins, Jim Hoskins, the other night, and we were scooping out, I mean, it's pretty close to poop out of the, you know, out of the gutters. There's, I mean, that's a hit. That's, you know, that's getting on base as far as I'm concerned. Wasn't very glamorous. But it definitely kept some of the water from going down in the basement. So there's always something to do. So if you've got, if you just, I don't even know why I'm up here really, because everybody knows that you just, we're a small group of people. We're not this big colossal business. We don't have the money to pay for just about, I mean, it's funny, we didn't have the money to pay for the... for trenching, we didn't have the money to pay for a lot of different things that we had to do, but the guys did it, and it saved us thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars, and now we're close. So, but it's the same way in all different ministries. If you paid somebody to do that painting that Dave Wilson's doing, who's doing the painting? It's beautiful. I've seen some of the flat work down there. This could be a huge, huge, huge ministry for our church. You know, every year I told him we don't get tired of watching that show every year. It could be neat to do every year. Big, big draw. So anyway, that was my big thing, is just to say, I approached the military, being at home or whatever, and especially being part of the church, as just being on a team. And so I'm expected. It's just the way I was brought up. Some of the rewards you can have is that not only will you feel like you're doing what the Lord's, you know, the Great Commission was actually, you know, is an outreach from God to ask. It's a need that He has that we need to help fulfill. So you can fulfill that need, but also you can set an example for your children. You know, that can go on for years and years and years. Did they see mom and dad at church? Did they see mom and dad laboring for Christ? Did they see mom and dad doing different things like that? Or is the example that all you got to do is go to church and, you know, don't worry about it, it's okay. Because things will happen on its own. People like, you know, Tom McKnight will always be there making that stuff happen. You know, it's just, you could be that example for your children. So that was really all I had. So I do appreciate you guys for welcoming us to your church.
Yeah, I like Phil's point that basically we all have talents, and whatever the talent is, that's what we need to use for God's service and God's glory. And it just reminded me of a verse in 1 Corinthians 12 where it says, "For the body is not one member, but many. If the foot says, 'Because I am not a hand, I am not a part of the body,' it is not for this reason any the less a part of the body. And if the ear says, 'Because I am not an eye, I'm not a part of the body,' it is not for this reason any the less a part of the body." And it's just the whole idea of the, you know, us as the body. That's a great illustration, working together. And whatever your talent is, we need it here. We need it here being used for God's glory at Liberty. So thank you, Phil, for your testimony. That is a great testimony. Next, I'm going to have Pastor Voles come up, and he's going to be giving us a vision for the building. Pastor Voles.
Okay. We are on, right? Okay, I really appreciate Phil. Phil does a lot of work up here. I'm up here a lot now, and he's always around, it seems. So, at funny times of the day, I'm not sure what he does for a living, but I'm thankful that he's as free as he can be, because I see him at 10 in the morning quite a bit, doing all kinds of things, moving concrete mixers and all kinds of stuff like that. And he really has been a good example to me of serving the church and being a servant. And, you know, we're talking about time, talent, and treasure over this past month and being a steward. And what Mike wanted me to talk about is just some of the vision that we have for the facility here and some of the things that we've done. And, you know, I actually want to go pretty quick here because I think I want to get into the Thanksgiving thing here. But how many people have been here more than I have, or as long as I have? You know, you guys remember what this facility was like, or you remember being nomads when we used to travel from building to building to building to building, which is not a fun thing to do if you've ever done that. You know, that's why we meet on Saturday nights. That's why we started doing that, because we couldn't find a place that that we could meet in. So we met in this church, and the Lord has always been faithful to give us exactly what we need and when we need it. You know, when we didn't have a facility, somebody would offer us one, or a friend would find a church for us to meet in, and it was always just perfect for us. So when this building came available for use for us, we were about the right size. We didn't have any way of buying this building. We didn't have enough money, and actually it wasn't even for sale when we came in here. The church that used this building had about under 50 people, and you can tell that they kind of let things go there for a while, but they had a small congregation. The building was deteriorating, and the Lord saw fit to have us come in, and those people were so gracious to us, because we came in, we used this building almost every day of the week, except for Sunday when they used it. That was the only time that we didn't use this building. And they didn't care. And they allowed us to do that, and it was great. So then we decided we needed to, they wanted to sell it. We had an appraisal done, and I'm just going to give you an example of how the Lord is just great. We had an appraisal done, $600,000 for the building, and I think it was $90,000 for the parsonage over there. They had an appraisal done, $1.2 million for the building. So we're like this far apart. So we could afford about $650,000. That was about where we were, and they wanted the $1.2 million. So we continued to rent the building, and a year probably almost went by. Actually, it was more than a year. And they tried to do this, and they tried to do this, and they weren't able to sell the building, mostly because of the probably the condition of the building, because the water, as Phil knows, flows from that end of the building through the building and out the other end. And they're working on that, though, and it's much...
Not for long.
Not for long. And they've done a lot to improve that situation. But that is what enabled us to be able to acquire this building, because we were a new church. We didn't have much money, and the money we had was precious to us, because we have a lot of needs and different things that we do here in ministries, and so we really couldn't afford this building, and I feel like the Lord really blessed us with this anyways. We were able to buy the building for $650,000 and the parsonage for $90,000, and Galen and I spent, gosh, I can't tell you the number of meetings that we had with the group, with the pastor and the district board. There were just tons and tons and tons of meetings that we had to work out the details, but we ended up getting the building. We were able to take out a loan in order to improve the upstairs, and for those of you who didn't see it before, we had it was a great building. It was very usable, but it was not all that attractive, so there was a lot of work done and a lot of volunteer work, and new chairs, new carpet, new lights. We don't have any new doors yet, although we need some, because those sometimes you can rattle them and open the doors. So there's a lot of stuff we need to do here yet, but the building has come so far. And sometimes I think that we look at it and we think, this is... Who remembers how the bathrooms were when we came in here? You didn't even want to go in there. I mean, nobody wanted to go into these restrooms. And now they're nice, and we're doing the ones in the basement, and we're redoing the kitchen in the basement. The tile has been... There's been new tiling put in the basement. So it's really been a great thing. Now, so... Great, we have a building that's now worth, $1.2 million, hopefully. But it's now, so what? What does that mean? Because having a building is nothing. I mean, when we went down to New Orleans, it's interesting, because those people, the pastor told me when we went down there how, when they have this great, it's a beautiful building that they have. But I'll tell you what, when you have 50 or 60 or 70 people sleeping in it every night, the carpet gets stained. And particularly when you're out doing construction work, right, Tim? And you walk back in, you have muddy shoes on. I mean, that place was a wreck when I was down there, and that was back in February. So I'm sure that having another 10 months of dirt in there, I mean, the building is to provide a way for us to minister. So, give you an example of some of the things that go on here. You know, this year, I've spent a lot of time up here, because the Lord has provided an opportunity for me to do that. So I'm up here maybe 4 or 5 days a week now with Tim, or with Mike over here, and Dave Vaughn, and different people. And it's exciting, because it's shocking to know how much ministry takes place up here. So I'm going to run through the days, and I'm going to miss some of these things. Monday, they have classical school up here. I know that. And there's basically people in the building from 10 o'clock to about 6 o'clock in various classes, because I don't know how many classes they run. I should remember that from last week. But they have 13 various classes that meet on Mondays and Wednesdays. So Mondays and Wednesdays, it's crazy. There's people running around all the time. Half of them I don't know, which is exciting to me when I don't know a lot of the kids that are coming back and forth. Then on Tuesday, during the day, it's a little more quiet until TFC starts. And then Mike has the junior high TFC meeting up here. And there's anywhere from 50 to up to 90 kids that come in. And that's another time the building is used on Tuesday. Youth worship team. Yeah, they start about 4:30, and they actually have two different meetings that they have. So youth worship team is up here on Tuesday. And then we also have the homeschool choir, both the older group and the junior high, or the great elementary school age, that meet in the basement, I think on Wednesday, I'm not sure of that, or Thursday. On Thursday we have play practice, right? That's done, hopefully, but we've had a lot of... what do we do on Thursday? Play practice? I know that there's other meetings that take place on Friday. People are up here all day long, and even at night. Saturday, obviously, we have this meeting. I just want you to know that we use this facility continually, except for one day, which is ironic. We don't use it on Sunday. And that is going to be remedied next year. Early next year, we're going to go to our Sunday morning service. Really excited. That's going to be an evangelistic thing. That's what I like about this program here, because all these kids that Mike has in here, he's got 30 or more kids whose parents, we don't even know who their parents are. And frankly, their parents send their kids off to come in our midst without caring who we are. And that's a shame. What we want to do is we want to encounter these people. We want to meet these people. We want those people in our midst. We want those people filling. We're going to have twice as much room come January or February, right?
Yep.
We're going to have twice as much room. So there's lots of room to fill in here. And, you know, that's a good group to start with, because those people are going to know who we are. This event that we're doing, the play, those people are going to know who we are. But the object is, use this building for ministry, okay? And that's basically all I wanted to say about that. Is that all right? Now be prepared to share all the things you're thankful for here in about 5 minutes, okay?
Thanks, Dave. Yeah, you know, as the office administrator, I get the privilege of doing all the scheduling here. And a couple years ago, when I first started doing it, there was always a room somewhere open. So if someone needed a room, I'd use, oh yeah, that's no problem. Come on up. But even in the past year or so, I've always said, you know what, I better check the schedule, because there's a good chance that just about every room is used. And we've had nights where every single room is used. I just went through my calendar and made a quick list of some of the regular meetings that happen. Drama practice, Bible quizzing, Bible quiz team meetings, 13 LCS classes, youth Bible studies, youth worship team, adult worship team, junior high, men's meeting, women's meeting, monthly prayer and worship celebrations, the homeschool choir. And that only includes basically the public meetings that, you know, everyone's invited to. It doesn't include things like the staff meetings, the missions meetings. Tons of counseling goes on here. This building, all that to say, gets used a lot. And, you know, occasionally a church planner will come in here, but somehow word gets out that we don't do anything on Sunday morning, so they start licking their chops, looking for an opportunity to start a church, which is awesome. And for whatever reason, it's really never worked out. But one church planner came in about 6 months ago, and when he heard that we owned this building after only being in existence for 5 years, he was in shock. He just couldn't believe that as a five-year-old church, we could own this building. You know, many churches would love to have the building problems we have, because that would mean they have a building. They'd love to have water flowing through from one end to the other and trying to figure out what they're going to do with the basement, because that means they have a basement. So all that to say that God's really blessed this church body and really blessed us, all of us, to have this building to be able to use so much. If we didn't have this, if we were meeting out of some YMCA, which some of us has done, the ministry would be greatly, greatly limited. And Dave ran through some of the inside stuff that we've done, some of the outside stuff that we've done. We've done a new roof, new parking lot, new windows, new siding. Dave will tell you, and the whole staff will tell you, that none of us, though, are into pouring money into a building just for the sake of pouring money into a building. You know, we don't want the gold trim on the outside or the podium or around my, you know, office or something like that, though. If you want to do that, no. We're really not into that. But what we are into, and what I think you are into, is we're into making the building usable and presentable. And when we first bought the building, it was definitely usable, but it wasn't presentable. As Dave mentioned, the orange pews and the green carpet. So we've come a long way in 5 years, and we've made the upstairs completely usable and presentable. And we're this close to having half of the basement completely usable and presentable. And that tiny little bit is the kitchen to finish that half. You know, at the very beginning of 2006, in January, I stood up here, gave a finance presentation, told you where we were at, presented the budget, and Pastor Vaughn talked about a $20,000 matching fund that someone had given. And he basically said, you know, there's 60 families, that averages out to about $350, and with that money, we could do the basement. And so he basically asked every single family to give, you know, $350 or more. About a third to a half of the families in the church gave to the matching fund for the building. And I greatly appreciate that, and I know the staff and the finance greatly appreciates that. We really appreciate your generosity. I asked Phil the other night. We've raised about $9,000 of that matching fund. We haven't said much about it throughout the entire year, but we've raised about $9,000, which leaves about $11,000 left. I asked Phil about 2 weeks ago, you know, how much would it take to get the kitchen done and looking really nice and in good order and very, very usable and presentable? And he said $11,000. And that would be the other part of that little matching fund that we need to finish up. So what I'm doing is I'm just appealing to every family that we take care of that $11,000. $11,000 would give us a kitchen. We'd completely have half the basement done, usable, and presentable. And it'd give us an opportunity to continue to do more ministry. And I know, you know, a number of the families have given. Maybe if the Lord's blessed you, you'd consider giving more. Some of the families, maybe you haven't had an opportunity or haven't been in a position to give. I'm appealing that you'd consider giving and that we just take care of that $11,000. We can go to Phil and say, you know, get the team together and let's finish it up and get the basement done. So I just ask that you would consider that and pray about that. I'll pray and then we're going to, I'll hand it over to Pastor Voles. Lord, we just thank you for this opportunity just to be talking about stewardship for the last 4 to 5 weeks and for the different testimonies and the vision cast, God. I know that my heart's been spoken to much and through the sermons as well. And God, I just pray that you'd continue to create a generous body here, a body that wants to use their time, their talent, and their treasures for you, God, just a body that's committed to stewardship. And we just pray that you'd bless the rest of this night. In your name. Amen.
Okay, I've heard people tell me before that this is their favorite service, the Thanksgiving service, because various people get to come up and share all the things that the Lord is doing. This has been a challenging year for me. More than any year, I'm thankful for this year. And just to give you a recap, I mean, this year the Lord has opened up an opportunity for me to work here at the church and pastor full-time. Which is just, I never would have believed that he could have done that for me this year. But he did do that. He opened up that door. You know, my car accident, which was horrible in one sense, I mean, it was such a blessing to my family. It's been a growth thing in my life, and I really am thankful for that, believe it or not. When I had that accident, I shared this one time before that the Lord gave me some verses. While I was laying there in pain and I couldn't really even read because my head was so foggy, he led me to the scripture, which is my source of comfort, and he gave me this verse in Psalms 136. And I'm just going to read a very short portion of it because I've read it to you before, but it says, "Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. Amen. For his loving kindness is everlasting. Give thanks to the God of gods, for his loving kindness is everlasting. Give thanks to the Lord of lords, for his loving kindness is everlasting. To him who alone does great wonders, for his loving kindness is everlasting." And then as you read the rest of the psalm, what he does is basically he goes through all the wonderful things that the Lord has done in his life, or through to Israel, basically. And you go through this whole thing, and it's just a recounting and remembering of all the things and ways that the Lord has been gracious, and the Lord has shown his loving kindness to this people. And that's a monument that these people would read, and they would actually sing this song, and it was just a monument unto the Lord. So the mic is open, and I'm thankful for this church. I'm thankful for my family, my wife, my children. I'm thankful this year has brought me a new daughter, which is a blessing. I heard her name earlier, Tiffany Voles, and I thought, who is that? I don't know a Tiffany Voles. So it sounds funny even hearing that yet. But that's been such a blessing to us, being able to the Lord provide an opportunity for me to be up here. This has been a big, 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 big year for my family. And even the car accident has been a blessing, and the Lord really has used it. I'll tell you, as you read this psalm even, it's not all good things that he's talking about. He reads, you know, they go through wars and they go through battles, but God, guess what? The Lord is faithful, and his loving kindness is everlasting, even when you have bad things happen, even when I have this challenge of my memory. A day doesn't go by when my wife doesn't tell me something, and I sit there and I try not to even look shocked anymore, because I think there's more that I don't remember than I remember over the past couple years. So, but that's okay, because his loving kindness is everlasting. So, who wants to come up and share? The mic's down here. It's a short walk. John Silverhorn and Holly Silverhorn.
Seems like we're always up here, guys. Well, we just love you so much, and it's just a privilege to go first, actually, because I just want to say that I am, this year has been a mommy now, I guess, for a year and a half, has really changed perspective on things, and, you know, it's really taught me a lot, actually, about authority, and I just want to say that I am so thankful for authorities in my life. First, my husband, who is a very good authority. He shepherds our family and my daughter in a way that I cannot. And he gives me tremendous insight into my motherhood and really leads us there. And he is really, he's really great like that. Just today, he was telling me some things that I need to reflect more of Jesus Christ in this way to my daughter. And so just really thankful for him and taking initiative on things like the angel food ministry. It's just great to see him take the lead there. And then also just for our authorities here at church. And, you know, I was brought up in a home that did not necessarily respect authority. We didn't bash authority, but, you know, it was okay. You know, you dealt with it so that you don't go to jail. But it wasn't cherished or treasured or highly sought after, even the way we talked about the president and things like that. It was very convicting to come here. And I've been here since I was a teenager, and so I've definitely had a lot of opportunities to have authorities step into my life and say things to me. And, you know, it's really easy to submit to things that you agree with. Of course. Well, yeah. Okay, I'll work on that. But it's really hard to submit to things that you don't agree with. And anyway, that I've had that opportunity. And I just want to read Ezekiel 34. I was reading it the other day. And the Lord just said, Holly, you are so blessed. You are so blessed. I placed you at liberty, you and your family, and I have good shepherds over you, and you are so blessed. And you need to rejoice in that authority. And it's really exciting, guys. I mean, I'm really not one that is submissive by nature. I don't know if any of us are, but I'm really excited about what God is doing and changing my view of authority and actually seeking and respecting and trusting and relaxing in the authority that God has over us. So anyway, Ezekiel 34, there were some really bad guys who were shepherding Israel. And this is what the Lord says to him. And as I'm reading this, think about all the ways that liberty is not doing what God is telling them is bad. You know, all the ways that liberty, that Pastor Bowles and Pastor Vaughn really reflect the Father's heart. And anyway, it says, but you do not care for the flock. You have not strengthened the weak or healed the sick or bound up the injured. You have not brought back the strays or searched for the lost. You have ruled them harshly and brutally. So they were scattered because there was no shepherd. And when they were scattered, they became food for all the wild animals. My sheep wandered over all the mountains and over every high hill. They were scattered over the whole earth, and no one searched or looked for them. It's so grievous. It's so grievous, but so great that God cares about us in that way, that he wants to have us in a church that has good shepherds. Because, guys, I mean, if you just think about the recent, you know, events in evangelical Christendom, you know, there's some people that do not have good shepherds right now, and they're there. And, you know, some of you young people have been here, and you might just be coming because Teens for Christ comes here, and this is where Tim comes, and all that kind of stuff. And I can tell you, I have been really, really blessed by Tim Ward's ministry and his leadership and authority in my life. And even in my single years, he and Pastor Vaughn shepherded me very, very graciously. And I just want to encourage all you young people out here that if you're not a part of this body, if you're not a member, I would really encourage you to put yourself and submit yourself under the leadership here, because you're not going to get anything better. And then the other thing I just want to be thankful for is that God, he's our ultimate shepherd and he's our ultimate authority. And he says this about us. He says that, "I myself will tend my sheep and have them lie down, declares the sovereign Lord. I will search for the lost and bring back the strays. I will bind up the injured and strengthen the weak. But the sleek and the strong I will destroy. I will shepherd the flock with justice." And just praise God for God.
I have a lot to be thankful for as well. I want to say that I have a wonderful family. God's provided me with an awesome wife, and I learn quite often just what an awesome wife she is, that she definitely is my complement and I am hers, and where she's got strengths, I've got weaknesses, and where I've got strengths, she's got weaknesses. And you know, God couldn't have paired me up with a better woman than Holly. God has blessed me with an awesome extended family. I don't have any blood family here in town at all. I'm here by myself. My closest family is probably, well, Tyler's. We sort of think the Tylers are related, but we're not sure. Like distant cousins. And there you go. lost my train of thought. So I don't have any relation here other than Holly's family. And I tell you, you know, when you get married, you kind of wonder what you're getting married into. You know, all the extended family. And I tell you, I could not have handpicked a better family than Holly's family. It's just such a blessing they received me as one of the family. I'm thankful for an awesome church body here. You know, that we've got an awesome, loving group of people here that I kind of consider, family members. Not just the Tylers, but, all of you guys. I'm thankful for Pastor Vaughn that, you know, preaches on not only the good things that we want to hear about, but also the things that nobody likes to hear about, you know, about sin and all this other stuff that a lot of churches where you go, pastors kind of skate around that part because it doesn't make you feel good to hear that kind of thing, you know, about abortion and homosexuality and all these other bad things, you know. And I appreciate a pastor that preaches all of the word and not just the good stuff out of the word. I'm thankful for Pastor Vols as well. I tell you, when he stepped down from his job with Vols and went to full-time ministry, my eyes were just like, wow. I thought that was pretty intense. I mean, I know he's still kind of got another job thing on the side, but that just really made me look at him in a whole new light, that he would step down from being, I think, president of Vols, was it? I think. Weren't you president? But anyway, he was pretty high up there if he wasn't president. He's not saying much, but he, you know, step down from there to be pastor of our church. And that just... I was just flabbergasted by that. It put him in a whole new light in my eyes, and I want to say thank you to Pastor for deciding to take that step and to be a leader of our church. I think that's all I can think of right now. The Lord has blessed us. Oh, I not only have got a little 1.5-year-old. You know, I waited all these years to get married. I was 34 when I got married. I finally had my first baby when I think I was 36. And just fatherhood is the most coolest thing ever. Those of you that are single, it's awesome. And then I got another little one on the way coming in March. And you know, I started late. I've only got two now, but I'm trying to catch up to all y'all other Liberty folks here. So just watch it.
You better start having twins then.
Yeah, we're going to have twins. Thanks anyway. We love you guys.
You know, as Robin comes up, I want to share something that I forgot, and I wanted to remind everybody that Adam Vaughn is actually in the hospital. He was there last night. He's going to be there tonight, and then I think they're going to let him go tomorrow. He's had some type of flu virus or some type of infection. They're not 100% sure what it is yet, although they're going to do some tests, and he's been sick to his stomach now for 5 or 6 days, and he's dehydrated. So He's been in the hospital on an IV, and he was there last night. I talked to David earlier today, and he's going to be there tonight. And they're pretty sure that they're going to send him home tomorrow. But we need to remember and pray for him. All right, let me pray for him right now. Lord, I pray that you be with Adam right now, and I pray that you would be Lord over his body and rehydrate his body, Lord. And I pray for just the peace that surpasses all understanding. I pray that the Holy Spirit would move on his body and bring quick healing to him, Lord. And I pray for comfort for the entire household. And we do thank you for the blessing that David and his family are to our church. And Lord, I pray that you would just reward them bountifully for all the effort and all of the work that they have done, Lord. And thank you for the blood of Jesus. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So he's actually doing better today. And he's walking around the hospital ward in the room now. You know Adam. He's probably not running around like he normally does, but I think he's doing a lot better, but David said that they'll probably release him tomorrow. So, but two nights in the hospital to be hydrated he was pretty sick. So, Robin Ramsey.
Okay. I am very thankful for a beautiful nugget of gold that God brought to my attention through Bible study. I attend Bible Study Fellowship, and this year they've been going through Romans. And in Romans 6... what they've talked about a lot is how, because we, when we come to Christ, we share in his death, and we've died to sin, and then in his resurrection we have a new life. And some of the verses that especially spoke to me, it says, "For we know that our old self was crucified with him, so that the body of sin might be rendered powerless, that we should no longer be slaves to sin." And then down farther it says, "For we know that since Christ was raised from the dead, he can't die again. Death no longer has mastery over him." And then verse 11, "In the same way, count yourselves dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus." That word count in the Greek means you're to consider that as a fact. It's an accomplished thing. It's a reality. It's not just that you are to imagine it so, but that it has been accomplished. And what they really stress is that when you come to Christ and you submit to his life and accept his salvation, that you have a completely new relationship to sin, that it no longer has any power over you, that you are dead to that sin. And the rest of our lives, what we do is we clean up what pops up because of our sin nature, you know, that's still there. But we, you know, it's not realistic for us to say, "I can't help it," or "This just has too much power over me," because that's not based in Scripture, and that's not the fact of his salvation. And that was so beautiful to me, that we have a completely new relationship to sin, that we are now, through Christ, masters over it and slaves to righteousness. And that just really blessed me, that we are no longer slaves to sin. And for me, what that means is that I can see myself as having that freedom to choose, and that I know I'm going to be successful in the Lord over a sin. It's not going to overpower me. So I just wanted to share that.
Good. It's getting close to 8:15, which means I'll have a crowd coming up now. Who else? Ah, David Terry.
I'm going to bring one of the blessings. You know, I don't even know where to start, because this year has just been an amazing year for our entire family, actually the last couple of years. And this is just one of the wonderful blessings.
Now, don't they look alike? Look at that. Hey, wait a second.
Look at this. He's got more hair.
He's got more hair. And if that's not Jason, Jason, right?
Huh. Yeah.
Yeah. That boy, they look so much alike.
You should see a picture of me as a baby. right there.
I believe it.
But, you know, God has just been so awesome, and so many things that has happened over the last couple of years. You know, God finally blessed us with a healthy baby and blessed us with two other kids that we just adopted this year. You know, but I want to say, I think, you know, the greatest blessing God has given me would be my wife. Because, you know what, she's been through so much over the last couple of years with what had happened with the death of Selah and bringing two new kids that that were, you know, God gave us. She's just been totally awesome with that. And, you know, that's just the beginning of it. God has just blessed us in so many different ways, and it's been neat seeing our kids just mature in the Lord. You know, and as we did the VBS this year, we God brought two of our kids to Christ, and that was just an amazing thing. You know, I don't know, I could go on and on, but, you know, I do want to thank, you know, pretty much everybody here, because we couldn't have done it without, you know, the church body. You know, what, so many things that we have been through. Everybody, I mean, all you guys here have been there with prayers, all kinds of different things. So I just, you know, just praise God for the all that He's done in our family, and, you know, He's just awesome. Thank you.
Ooh, Rachel Cummings. Dan, by the way, added three children to his family in 1 year. So the Silverhorns couldn't be beaten.
I just wanted to publicly express my gratefulness to God for my superhero, which is my dad. I just thank you for your spiritual leadership in my life, for your wisdom, and for the godly principles that you've set before me that I'm striving to meet. And I just hope to, not just with my words, but with my actions, just express that gratefulness to you and to Mom and the family. And I just thank God for putting me in the family that He did. And I thank God for this church as well.
I'm sure one of my children is going to share next, right? No, than that, I guess. Andrea will, though.
This is something I've been thinking about for a while, actually, all year long. And I almost forgot to get up and say this tonight, but all year long I'd be like, you know, that's something I'm really thankful for. I should really say that at the Thanksgiving service. So here it is. I just want to thank all of the young girls here and the families who help us out with our children. It is such a blessing to us. I can't even tell you. You know, like whenever we go on trips to help out with the youth, when we go Bible quizzing, when we do the junior high retreat, people like the Kinseys. Thank you so much. And the Kents and the Grishams, and I'm sorry if I forgot anybody else, the Cummings, I think, one time took our kids for us, and it's such a great blessing. Many of you here know that our parents, we don't really have, you know, a moms and dads to watch our kids for us. We're constantly calling babysitters in this church. I mean, probably almost every girl here has babysat for us at one point or another. And thank you so much. When you volunteered, I know that Alicia and Laura have done volunteer for us, and Melanie, and I think maybe a lot of other girls have volunteered. And I'm sorry if I forgot who you are. I don't have the greatest memory, but I just want you to know how much it blesses us and how much it ministers to us when you do that. Thank you.
Andrea's going to be passing a clipboard around for you to sign up for babysitting tours. Brian Short. Oh, he just went to the restroom. You know, that's where I crossed the line. My wife's already looking at me.
I want to thank the wards, just for Teens for Christ.
All right.
You know, that's one of the reasons why we came here is to, like you said, that is kind of strange that those parents would just let their kids go. And I'm like, oh, you know, one of our big things is we want to know everything. And I couldn't do what Tim and Kim do because I'm too much authoritarian, and I'm sorry, that isn't right, you know. But I appreciate them, and I appreciate their ability to handle that large of a crowd, and keep it in a way that I feel is also acceptable to me, you know, that my kids go there. And so it's great to have a location to send them, to have them, you know, involved in things, and I just appreciate you.
Pam Vincent.
Well, I just really feel very, very blessed and thankful. This year has just been unbelievable for me. There's been a lot of, you know, tragedy in my life, but it's come out and to be such a wonderful thing for me to be part of Liberty. And I feel like I've been, you know, reading the Bible. That's one thing I ask God to please help me with, is reading, because I'm not a good reader, and he's been helping me with that. I've learned a lot, and I'm so thankful for my friends here at the church and for my other friends, Debbie and Brian, Rick and Gina, that I knew before I started coming here. They've been great support, and I'm very thankful for you guys. And one thing that I decided, that I feel like I'm a tree planted by the stream, and I'm being nourished every day in a way that I've never been nourished before.
Amen.
And I'm very thankful.
Well, I just want to tag along with what Pam was saying. It's really been an encouragement to me. I've been a Christian for 23 years, I think. And, you know, I was just sharing with Pam last weekend that anytime that when you're with someone who's really new in the Lord, it's so refreshing. It's so invigorating that everything to them is brand new. And they're so excited about reading God's Word, and they're so hungry. And we kind of talked a little bit about, you know, the sharing service. And it's been really a blessing to get to know Pam. And I'm really thankful that she's put her in our life. And it's just been really good for us. So that's all I really want to say, is I'm really thankful to the Lord just for Pam and just for the things that I see that God's doing a deep work in her heart. So, and of course, I'm thankful for my own family. So.
For some of the visitors or people that haven't been around, Pam became a Christian in January, I think, of this year. Her husband actually received Christ about 4 weeks earlier than that. 4 weeks later, she became a Christian, and then 4 or 5 days later, he died. So, and let me tell you, the new life that I didn't know him very well. Brian grew up with Mike and Pam, and he testifies to the change that he saw in Mike's life. And, you know, Pam is just a new creature in Christ. And for her to stand up here and say that the Lord is good just is a testimony of standing on the Word of God. Yeah. Amen?
I have a lot to be thankful for. I'm sitting there going, what can I cut out? This year, the biggest thing I think I'm thankful for is that my brother is married now to an awesome, godly woman, and that's a blessing. I'm very happy for him, but in that, I am so thankful for my church family here. God is so gracious. He provides everything that we need when we need it. We have an awesome pastor, Pastor Vaughn, who declares the Word of God fearlessly, as he should, and I'm so thankful for that. And I'm so thankful for Kim and Tim Ward, who stand up and proclaim truth in the darkness. And I praise God that he opened up a new wave of ministry for them this year at the Discovery Church right next to Fort Zumwalt South. And I'm thankful for these two boys up front, Matt and Scott, and the blessing it's been to to watch them grow in the Lord and get to see Tim in that position again and pouring his heart into kids like me, you know, who come from the non-church family, you know. And Kim and Tim poured their lives into me and through the Word of God and through truth. And the Lord has used them and Pastor Vaughn and countless people here at church over the years just to, you know, strengthen faith and bring the Word. And I'm so thankful to God that He has a ministry opportunity for me to do the same thing with the girls at Discovery Church and Teens for Christ. And God is so awesome. And I want to thank publicly for Ravonda and Jeff Dawson. When Lauren and Christy hooked up, they kind of stepped out of ministry with a high school club with Teens for Christ, and the Lord opened the doors for them to come in. And Ravonda's at Treasury, and Jeff comes, and he just pours his heart into the kids, the guys, you know, on Friday night. And just watching them be able to come side by side with Kim and Tim and just pour their lives into the kids is just such a blessing. And Pastor Vaughn and Diane, they send Hannah and Lydia to come on Wednesday night at Discovery Church to minister with those kids. And having strong teens who've been raised in truth and been taught, you know, they're needed on the battlefield with these kids. They need strong, godly teenagers, you know, to be examples and to pour their hearts into them. And I'm so thankful to Pastor Vaughn and his wife for sending their kids and letting them have the opportunity to minister to them. And watching Hannah and Lydia just grow in that has just been a huge blessing to my heart. And also the Sanders for all the work that they pour in, and the Munns for quizzing, and they're sending Patricia and Louisa on Friday nights too, and they're being a great blessing, and I can see fruit coming out of that already in the lives of some of the young girls. And it's just a blessing to watch what God's doing in our midst and the work that He has.
Good. By the way, Tim Ward just told me that David and Diane are home with Adam, so they just got home a while ago. So.
Well, I am grateful for a lot. I'm grateful for my family and all they've been to me. I'm grateful for the bonds that you've made a real impression in my life. At the junior high retreat, we went on a hayride, and during that hayride, I was looking up at the stars and just thinking, if God cares so much about the stars, just imagine how much He cares for me. And that really pushed me there, because I was actually very low, where I thought I was up there with the Lord, and I looked at myself and I was very low. And the Teens for Christ has really gotten me a lot more Christian friends, and they've really impacted my life. I'm very glad that we moved to Liberty, because our other church, as my dad said, didn't have the Christian welcome when you first walked in. There were a bunch of kids that would just push you aside to get to a certain place, and it was just like, hi, bye, you know, certain things. But I am very grateful for the friends that are here, because they lift you up and they want you to come to these Bible studies, and it's like, I would love to come to all of that. And it's like, I'm wanting to push some of the other things aside and put some of the Bible in. And so I'm very grateful for a lot of the stuff that Liberty has given to us. They've given us a warm welcome, and they've given us a lot of friendship and a lot of the Bible. So thank you.
It wouldn't be
re-election.
Complete service without the political spin. Thank you. I'm glad to be here. I'm glad that I got reelected. I'd like to remind you that 5 years ago, when I had my only race, when I lost,
for mayor of O'Fallon, and the pastor said something startling that night. He said, "We let Cynthia down." And I was touched by that. It was so profound. This is a great church, and a lot of people did help me have a successful reelection. And there were people here who stood at the polls for me. We've analyzed those polls and discovered that the voter turnout was higher for me. And I'd like to also remind you, the 8 million Christians, evangelical Christians, stayed home on Election Day 2006. We had 8 million more come out in 2004. That had an impact on the vote. And even though some of you may feel sorry that Amendment 2 did not, we were not successful at defeating it, we were successful at slowing down the momentum, because wouldn't you have loved to have been in the room with the people who just spent $30 million watching their polls come in and seeing that it was so dangerously close, and there are already plans on the books to put something on the ballot in 2 years to overturn that. I'm so thankful that it was at least close enough to scare them. Maybe they're not going to want to push so fast and so hard, even though it did pass. But another thing interesting to be thankful for, a lot of the people thought that those who are, maybe the Republican Party needs to push more to the middle and pander to the moderates. I just want you to remember, Todd Akin and Cynthia Davis are the two farthest to the right in terms of being conservative and promoting traditional values. And Todd Akin and Cynthia Davis were the top vote getters of any, you know, opposed race in this, in these stratas. So I was, God gave me an abundance, a big margin, bigger than any other opposed candidate in our district, in our county. And so the Lord has his hand on the whole world, and even though it's hard to come through an election and see what we think are bad things, it's all God's purpose, and so I'm very thankful that he's in control. Thank you. Yeah.
Hey, I'm really grateful for all of you for being here. I was here. How many of you were here when we started up? Look around, folks. That's the crew. Church on the deck over at Dave's dad's house. We started there, and I just look around, and then, like you were sharing, Dave, it was so awesome to see where we are now. Not about the building, about you guys. And some of you don't know me. It's really hard, but if you don't know me, I'll find you quickly. I want to know you because I think you're so awesome. It's just so cool to hear your stories. I see John's here. Sweet man. Check the beard out. That is awesome, dude. You've been out in Washington too long. Anyway, so... And anyway, I want to say I'm thankful for my wife and my boys and our family. And urge you guys be praying for Jeremy, Christy, and Brianna. Jeremy's probably going to Afghanistan in February, which is all right. He's not too worried about it. He really likes hanging out with the Special Forces guys. He thinks they're cool. But it'll be a tough deal for them, but there's a chance he might not. So you could pray he might be able to get cross-trained there where he doesn't have to finish out, because it would be cool for them to grow. They're just now going to a church, and I'm just sharing it with you publicly. They really need your prayers as a couple, and just to be in the church and to get back where they need to be. And they admit that. And be praying for them, and pray for Josh and Shelley also. Just pray for our family in those areas. I'll be real bold and vulnerable with you. But there's somebody, you know what? He's the unsung hero. And honestly, if I was to pick a guy that was around me that does all the stuff that no one ever saw, that has truly, honestly, kept me going and kept me alive, it's Mike Bond. Mike is just a phenomenal man. And we too often gloss over what goes on with him. And, you know, I'm just hoping that he doesn't bail out on me before he gets his doctorate. because I want to say to all my buddies, does your junior high leader have an earned doctorate? Because his calling is not office administrator. He's good with the kids. And I remember the day Mike, I handed over the junior high to him. We were meeting at the Stockdales. And he said, I don't want to work with them. He said, they're a mess. I don't really like them. I want to do the senior high. And I said, no, because if you can work with the junior high, you can do anything. And I asked him when he decided to come over and be on staff at the church, I said, you want to give the junior high up? And he said, I don't know. And so I walked in and the next couple days, I said, look, I got to know what you're doing because I've either got to get somebody in place here or do something. And he said, no. He said, this is what I'm supposed to do. And so he takes his extra load on he and Andrea. And I just want to say to you personally and publicly, brother, thank you for the years of labor and service, not just junior high, but to us while you're in the ministry. You are an awesome man of God, and I appreciate you and all you've done for us here. So you ought to give it up for Mike because he's a huge person. I look around the room at his peers, and you don't want to get caught with Lauren and Jake and Mike in a little theological discussion. They have dictionaries they carry around in their pockets just to look up words you can't understand. They're great guys, and it's really cool to see them continue to grow. And then there's another guy and his family that really stepped in. As many of you know, when I was going through some rough times, I was pastor here for a while, and I can tell you, two people who came to the forefront, all of you did, you supported us, but I can remember sitting in Rome, Catherine, when you and David came back from Florida, cut their trip short, and it was like, it was just like a Coast Guard mission. The boat was there, we were okay, and I felt very secure. And I watched Dave transition from being the guy at the work. A bum is a good word, but not for you. Not for you, my friend. And just watch him transition from his calling and what he was doing. You may not know this, but they already had established a type of a home house church. I got connected up with them through that way back when, through Dave and Cindy and Marty and Tammy and I don't know who else, Sean and Jeanette were there and Steve and Jada. And I met all of them. That's where I met them, was at your little house church. And I loved how they did communion and got things messed up sometimes with the grape juice. We won't talk about that right now. But there was a lot of fun things that happened in that little place. And there's another guy that was at that meeting. It was Little Dave. And that is now Mr. Big Dave over here, Jr., married to Tiffany Bowles, which is still hard to say. So Dave, Little David, would come in, and his father had taught him how to worship. It was just his heart. And I remember Jim and I went over with an all-night thing. That was insane. We had some great times, but I would watch little David worship, and I would watch his father work with him and teach him. It was just an honor to be around him. And then when everything kept going, and we finally brought David on, I remember he asked me, I'm kind of like, this guy's taking my spot. You know, I don't like him. And I didn't. I mean, I had battles with it. I was just in my own heart. I was like, you can't do this. And I want to tell you how things work out. You know, God has really dealt with me on offenses and forgiving people. Dave Vaughn told me sometime back that somebody left the church for this reason, and I looked at him and said, that's an offense. That's not a biblical reason. You just can't run away from things. And I was. Well, long story short, we went on a mission trip together, and I went with a heart saying, I got to get this, you know, cleaned up. And David and I put us in the same van together, and I mean, a miracle happened. I mean, we became unified because we had to fight this groucho from southern Missouri running the program down there who was attacking our kids. And I saw Dave really stand up for the folks and the people and for me and the things we did. And he has been truly a warrior. Whatever you think of what goes on, what you don't know, he's a businessman. He's definitely a businessman. He knows how to talk to business guys. I don't. They start talking all that stuff, and I was like, I'll cut the grass. You guys go ahead and have a nice time. But he's got such a heart. And I've heard him talk about you guys and prayer. And I remember his first experience coming in. He walked out the door, and he and Catherine had been in one of those late night, awesome pastor meetings, counseling with people who wouldn't want, as who has it said that you don't want to be counseled, you don't want to hear it. And he walked out and he goes, holy cow, this is really hard. Those people are really hurting. And he just really loved you guys, and I thought, you know what, we're good. He's here and he loves you, and he's got a great heart. And you guys already know what I think of David and Diane. I mean, they are I don't know how to describe it. more than just a leader and a great friend. It's just deeper than that. Their home, as he said. But I wanted to say to David, too, you know, man, when we came, it came time to ordain, I think it was a little skittish what I would do, because, you know, you get stupid. And the Lord really gave me peace about it. I believe the scripture is true. You lay hands on no man suddenly. And I, you know, I prayed and thought about it. And I remember going to David and telling him, I'm good. I'm going to lay my empty hands on your empty head. And we're going to see what happens here. I didn't say it quite like that. It was close, though. And I just have to stand up and tell you this, you know. I don't know where God has us or what's going on. Things are changing our ministry drastically in an awesome way. We're just getting piled on right now. And it is awesome. Not just these two guys, but many others. And God's opening doors to the schools and some things that we used to do. And that's cool. But here's my last word. I don't know how you feel about what goes on here or what happens here. First of all, there's no such thing as not forgiving somebody. It's not allowed. It is not in the Word. It says in the Scriptures, how many times have we forgiven the Lord? And he said 70 times 7. Their next word was, please God, give us faith. Well, I've had to do that. I've had to go back over and over with things that have bothered me and done that. And I've realized the only place that I can live and I can walk in this place and be with God is in a place of total forgiveness with folks. And David knows this because we've talked about it. But I want to say this. I do not regret putting my hands on that man. And I love him and I'm appreciating him and Kathy and what they've done and the ministry they have to us. And I just needed to publicly come up here and say I appreciate David Bowles, my pastor, and all he does for us. Okay, that's it, and I think we're going to wrap it up there.
All right. Thanks. Okay, I'm going to pray, and then we'll close. I can't tell you, though, how much that means to me to have Tim. Tim and I have had some rough, I mean, people probably don't know that because we don't really talk about that, but we've had some rough roads over the past 3 or 4 or 5 years. But, you know, the Lord is really gracious and he's good, isn't he? And I'll tell you, that trip to New Orleans was really good, because when you get in the grime and you're working in, you know, slop together, the petty little things that cause division among us just kind of go away. And when you see the Lord doing miracle after miracle, when we were in New Orleans, the Lord did so many miracles that you just have to sit there and say, you know what, this is ridiculous for there to be any type of division at all, which there isn't. I can tell you right now there's absolutely none, because, you know, Tim is like, he's one of the people that I would kill for. I won't. but he is, and I know that he would do the same for me, because I've seen him in action before. I've seen him defend you know, the Word. I've seen him do just, you know, this church wouldn't be here if it wasn't for the Lord using people like Tim Ward in our midst. And I really appreciate him and his wife. And they have been through, you know, the sacrifices that he has made for us, for our body, for me and my wife and our family is just tremendous. I mean, I don't know what changes he's talking about, but I know that, you know, he's... The Lord is good, and the Lord is faithful, and that's the message that that I think that the Holy Spirit has for us. He's good, he's faithful, and he's always there for us. Even when your Pam Vincent and your husband dies, you know what? The Lord is there for you. When you're in a car accident and you can't remember anybody's name, my big fear coming up here tonight, because I still have these stale moments. My fear is somebody's going to walk up here. I'm going to say. And not going to remember who they are. But you know what? That's okay, because you guys understand, and you know what? The Lord is good, and he's my healer. And so let's pray, all right? Father God, I want to thank you for all the blessings you bring to us, and we want to thank you for everything you bring to us, everything good and everything bad, because we know that you're Lord over all things. And apart from you, we have nothing, and we're but rubbish, Lord. And thank you for the blood of Jesus. Thank you for the death on the cross, and for giving us new life, for calling us out of darkness and bringing us into your light. I pray that you would call all of our children out of darkness and bring them into light, Lord. And I pray that our children would know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, and that they would trust him with their life. And I pray that you would put that in the heart of all our children. Lord, I thank you for this church and for the blessing they've been to me and my family over the past 10 years. And I thank you for David Vaughn, and even for the work that you did in Adam's life here. And we know that you're Lord over all things, and we trust you with everything. And I pray, God, that you would go with us, and this week that we would be your witness here on earth, and that you would bring people in our lives that we could minister to and that we could show the love of Christ to. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.